35. Listen now for the word of God. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while am I with you. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In good old-fashioned camp style, I'm going to start out this morning by telling you a story. And I say that because one of the first ways I was greeted this morning was, "Are you David's mom?" And yes, as a matter of fact, I am. Many of you probably know David from Burnhamwood. And I know storytelling is an important part of Burnhamwood. So will you pray with me? Lord, open our hearts and minds, and through the presence of your Holy Spirit, as the scriptures have been read and your word is proclaimed, give us ears so that we may hear with joy your message for us today. Amen. So Isaac Dennison tells a story in her book, Out of Africa, about a young boy named Kateau. Now Kateau came knocking on her door one day, looking to become a domestic helper, someone who worked in her household. And she hired him, and he did a fabulous job, going above and beyond in everything that he did. After 3 months, he came to Miss Dennison and asked for a letter of recommendation to a sheikh in the nearby camp. She offered him a raise, a little bit dismayed that he wanted to leave her household. But Kateau gently explained to her that his motivation for working was not money. His plans had been to look for God. And so he was going to work, planned to work for her for 3 months, and then to go work for the sheikh for 3 months, so that he could experience life as a Christian and life as a Muslim. Miss Dennison paused and gave him that letter of recommendation, saying, "I wish I would have known that when he started working for me. They will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another." As we go about our daily lives, would Kateau know that we were Christians? As Jesus spent his last evening with his disciples, he did not teach in parables or in paradoxes like he usually did. Instead, he offered a simple commandment: love one another. And this part of the commandment is not new. It can be found in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and the Jewish people would have heard it often as the Torah was read. The newness was in the second half of the commandment: love one another just as I have loved you. Jesus is inviting his disciples to live their lives as he had lived his, selflessly, loving both those who were his closest friends and loving those that others chose not to see. In fact, he demonstrated that love that very night. Just before he gave this commandment, Jesus had washed the feet of his disciples. He demonstrated that love not by assuming the role of a respected teacher, but by taking the role of a servant and doing what none of them would have typically done for each other. He washed the feet of his friend that would betray him. He washed the feet of the man who would deny him. Jesus washed the feet of those who would abandon him. Jesus loved those even who were not capable of reciprocating his love. We might hear that differently now. Love one another just as I have loved you. This commandment is short and quite simple to memorize. It is one of the first Bible verses that we often teach our children. And as we heard this morning, even though they were a little bit shy with me today, they know how to love each other. You put your arms around someone, you help them out, you go to them when they're lonely, you invite them to be your friend, you spend time with them. However, this commandment is also profound enough that even those of us who claim to know Christ, who study Scripture, and who seek to live as faithfully as we can, struggle to understand how to put it into practice. Jesus focuses our faith on one thing, on love. Yet, we often become distracted by focusing on differences in theology, orthodoxy, or creeds. Often, when we meet together, it is more important for us to be right than it is loving. And perhaps it is even easier to argue about our differences than it is to love, especially with people who are different than ourselves. One of my favorite theologians puts it this way: this commandment is ridiculously easy to say and ridiculously hard to do. So perhaps we should take some time to reflect on how do we love one another. I would ask you, can love be commanded? Not if it's a feeling. We can't choose our feelings. Love can only be commanded if it's an action. And the word for love that Jesus uses in this commandment is agape love. Agape love is a compassionate, self-giving love. A love that is expressed through mutual care, solidarity, and faithfulness. It's reciprocal and longs to be in relationship. They will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Loving God and loving others is how we engage in relationship with Christ. It is how we show the world who we belong to and point others to Christ. Not by wise words or teachings, not through miracles or healing, but by simply loving. That sounds a little bit easier, right? But again, Jesus knew that it can be hard to live out. So he invites us to start with those who should be easiest to love. Those here in the room with us, family and friends, those we go to church with, and those who walk this journey of life with us. We share our joys and concerns. We pray for one another. We take food to shut-ins and those who are sick or grieving. We take turns teaching our children. We study Scripture together. And you all know, being Presbyterians, I'm sure you resolve any of your disagreements decently and in order. So we listen, and we're patient with each other. We always put others first. We easily ask forgiveness when we hurt others, and are quick to forgive when others hurt us. These things are getting harder and harder to think about. Love as an action is not as easy as it sounds, but thankfully, this agape love that Christ has demonstrated for us is alive in our communities. And even when we are not able to do it, our community stands with us and helps us to do it. The church helps us to love each other even when there are times we don't like each other very much. And that's essential because we cannot go out and love the world unless we have the support of a community that loves us unconditionally. Our church is not only a place where we gather to worship God, it is a community that reminds us of God's love, God's faithfulness. It's a community we know we can always turn to find love. And after reminding the disciples of the importance of loving one another, Jesus pointed outside of these walls to the rest of the world. Everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. We live in a world where there are hundreds of denominations of Christianity and a wide variety of other faith groups. We claim God's forgiveness and grace, and we celebrate that hope and those promises that are symbolized by the empty cross and the promise of the risen Christ. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But how do others know us, and through us know Christ? If someone in this day, in our community, spent 3 months living with us, would they know that we're Jesus' disciples? There's a video on YouTube that gives us a glimpse of how Christians are viewed today. It's not scientific. It's somebody walking down the street just asking people who they meet what they think. And they were asked how they would describe Jesus. Their answers included words like love, compassion, diversity, bearded, kind, savior, pretty cool, black, good, altruistic, loving, sincere, compassionate, excellent, a wonderful man, and peaceful. The same people were asked to describe Christians. This time they responded with words like out of touch, hopeful, psycho, uneducated, overboard, extreme, conservative, Bible thumpers, a bit crazy, frightening, overpowering, rigid, not too good, somewhat scary. That's a pretty significant difference. It almost sounds again like as Christians, we would rather be right than loving. Unfortunately, these views were also affirmed by a study that had been done with college-age students. The predominant perceptions of Christians for that age group indicate that they view Christians as intolerant, judgmental, patriarchal, homophobic, and arrogant. Again, not one mention of the word love. They will know you are my disciples if you love one another. We can all understand where these misperceptions of Christianity might come from, but they do not have to define us. In fact, I would suggest that these words are a call for us, a call to live out our Christ commandment to love one another in every action that we take. Every action that we take. Martin Luther King Jr. describes agape love by saying, "Agape love does not begin with discriminating between worthy and unworthy people. It begins by loving others for their sake and making no distinction between a friend and an enemy. Agape love seeks to create and preserve community. When we love one another, no matter who they are, justice and peace become reality. In our polarized society, the church has an opportunity to make a significant contribution right here and right now. We can choose to follow this commandment like children. It's ridiculously easy. We can always choose the most loving action. But we live in a complex world where the most loving action is not always clear. And we do find ourselves at odds with others. It is at this time that the church has the opportunity to demonstrate that we can love one another just as Jesus loved us, in both word and action, even in the midst of disagreements. We can maintain our community while addressing those differences. We can engage in deeply felt conflict and debate without destroying one another. We can do this by seeing Christ in each person that we meet. We are called to do more than just tolerate differences. We are called to love, to respect one another, and to build relationships. And in building relationships, we join God's reconciling work in our world today. And praise God. You know, as I was getting to know you this week through your Facebook page and your newsletters, you certainly engage in active love in the community here at Pisgah. I didn't have to look hard to see the work that you do, supporting each other, worshiping together, praying together, eating together. You celebrate babies, you study, you have fun together. You support one another. You love one another. And then you go out into the world and you feed people. In food pantries, with backpack buddies. You reach out to middle school kids here in Woodford County and all the way across the world to Africa. You support families coping with cancer and you work for restorative justice. You plant trees and reforest barren land. And I do believe all of these ministries are exactly the way we are called to love one another. It is through these actions that people know who you belong to and can see God in this place and this time. Being disciples is hard work. We're human. We both love regularly, and we fail to love regularly. But regardless of whether we succeed or fail to love one another, God loves us unconditionally. And because God loves us unconditionally, God continues to present opportunities for us to choose love so we can reflect God's love to the world. I wonder, if Coteau came to live with me for 3 months, or with you, what would he learn about being a disciple of Christ? Would he see unconditional love in action every day, everywhere, and with everyone? Would he see us seeking to love at home and at school, at work, in our neighborhoods, and with both friend and stranger? It is said that in his old age, the Apostle John frequently reminded those around him, love one another. It's what our Lord commanded. And if it's all that you do, it's enough. Amen.
Thank you. Teaching by the word.